Thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
So let's say a declaration like we mean it. All right, you ready? Here we go. God designed me to be fruitful, and I choose to partner with his original plan for my life. You know, when 2020 was just a day old, and God began to lay this on our hearts back at last year for this year, I'm telling you what, I did not know, I don't think anybody knew what 2020 would end up looking like. 2020, man, has been a booger. You know, it has. I don't know what else it's got in store, but a friend of mine over in South Carolina today said that it's the first time that he's ever felt his house quake under an earthquake that they had over there, I don't know, sometime either early this morning or yesterday. And he said, what else is in store for us for 2020? Well, I don't know the answer to that. You know, the Lord hadn't revealed it to me. Maybe he's revealed it to you. But I can tell you this, that God is good. He's still in control. And I was driving back from Mississippi last week, and I was driving with the anticipation of being here last Sunday at church, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to the people? You know, that's kind of how I always approach this time, this holy moment, is God, what do you want to say? Because like my intellect is flawed and it's limited, and you know, and I'm not the most eloquent speaker, you know, not the best looking guy, you know, that you know, people would want to, you know, sit and listen to for 30, 40 minutes or whatever. But God, what do you want to say to the people? Because if I could just stand up in front of people, it takes all pressure off of me. There's no performance in that. God, what do you want to say to your people? And I heard the Lord very quickly to say these words. Now, I didn't get to deliver them last week, and I don't know how well I'll share them this week. But I heard the Lord say very quickly to say, tell my people to hold on. Tell my people to hold on, because it's about to get good. Just that simple. He said, just tell them to hold on, because so many people are barely hanging on by the skin of their teeth. They're hanging on just by a thread, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You remember when I shared with you a vision that the Lord gave me when I was laying back here in my office one day praying, saying, God, what does the church look like after this? When people begin to come back, what is church going to look like? And the Lord didn't answer my question, which he does that a lot of times with me. Maybe I'm asking the wrong questions, but he didn't answer the question contrast to that, he just made a statement, and he said, they're not all coming back. Everybody's not coming back. You need to get used to that idea that everybody's not coming back. And then he began to show me this vision of the church, and I could see the church was represented by a building. So, you know, what we in our mind kind of conceive as church, we tie it to the image of a building, which you and I both know that's not correct. It's the body of Christ. But this was imagery that the Lord was giving me. And so I saw like a little old white country church with a little steeple, something like you see, you know, in Little House on the Prairie, if anybody remembers that show. And then I saw a person over here, and they were tethered to the church by this rope. But the rope had frayed, and in the middle, it was only hanging on by one teeny little thread. And I saw that thread break, and that person just drifted off into like this void of space. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, what is that? What is that imagery that you're showing me? And the Lord says, many people in the church today, the church of the living God, has devolved in a lot of ways to just a place of social makeup. Like that, like people, it's just a thing on their calendar to do. This is what my grandma did. This is what my mama did. This is what I do. And so all of those other cords that made the rope strong, which was my first love, my spiritual walk with God, my giving, my service, all these different things that made up their relationship with the church had all broken down a while back, and the only thing holding them was just that thread of social. And what's happened during this period is that has been broken by many people all over the church, both nationally and globally. So the very thing that people had them connected to a local body now has been severed. And so, you know, as I'm looking at this today, I want to start a new series, and I want you to turn in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to get there a little later. Joshua chapter 1. We'll get there later in the message. But I'm going to read to you, it says 1 through 9, but I'm really going to read to you about 11 verses of scripture from that. And in this series that I want to share with you and over the next several weeks, I want to talk to you about courage. And I know as you look at the screen, and I know the people at home may not be able to see this, but as you look at the screen, I know that you might think you see discouraged, but I really want you to see courage. Because, like for me, as I was walking out here this morning, I looked over at Brian and I said, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be preaching to y'all at all. I'm probably going to be preaching to myself, because I just need to encourage myself. Because I've been discouraged, guys. I've been mad, angry, disappointed. I've had so many emotions that I've been feeling, not just for the pandemic, but really for several years. And I'm serious. I'm like, God, I feel like Job a little bit now. God, I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know how much more I can take ministry-wise, personally, spiritually. I'm just at a place where, God, it hadn't been a 6 months period. It hadn't been a 9 month period. It hadn't been a 12 month period for me. It hadn't been a 2 year period for me. It's been a 3+ year period for me. And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, okay, when is enough? Like, I was honestly looking at 2020 when we were coming in, and I'm like, man, I'm glad that 2019 is behind me. That's how I felt. I said that to many of my friends. I was like, I am glad that is a year that is behind me, because I feel like now it's like I'm just catching my breath. Little did I know what 2020 had in store. And I'm like, you know, me and God, we've had some really passionate one-on-ones. You know, I don't know how you are. There's a great movie in scene in the movie The Apostle. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. I forget who plays the lead character in that. That's going to bother me. It's going to kill me. All right. Yes, Robert Duvall. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a great movie. If you've never seen it, go try to find it. And so his name is Sonny, and Sonny is just having a prayer time one night with the Lord, and he's in his mom's house, and he's like, Lord, this is Sonny. You know, Lord, what's going on here? And he's just pouring his heart out. Man, he's just kind of chewing God out and just like letting it flow. And I'm like, that scene is like some of my prayer time so many times. Because I'm just real with God. There's no other way that you can be with God. You know, you can't go with him and try to pretend that, you know, you got your spiritual hat on or come all. No, you just have to go like however you are before God. There have been times where I've gone before the Lord and I'm just angry at him. There are times I go before the Lord and I don't understand God. There are times that I go before the Lord that I'm disappointed in you, God. Now, I know we say sing and say stuff like, you know, he never fails us, and that's all true. But it doesn't mean that human emotion doesn't fool you. And that's why we're spirit-led and not soul-led. We're spirit-led so that when our soul wants to rise up in us and tell us, well, where's your God now and what's God doing in this situation, and that what you have to do is you have to operate in spiritual warfare, being fully clothed in the armor of God, and you have to take those high thoughts, the scriptures say, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you have to subvert those to the word of God, and you have to say, yes, I know how my soul feels. Yes, I know how my emotions feel, but I am not led by that part of my body. I am led by the Spirit, and I'm led by the Word of God, and I subject that to this Word. You got to know the Word. You've got to be in the Word so that it can keep us anchored. But I've been disappointed. I've been disappointed in, you know, can I just be honest and talk to you about this a little bit? Well, I'm talking at you, not with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like we're having a conversation right now. But I've been disappointed. I've been discouraged. I've been discouraged by people. I've discouraged people. I've been the discouragement. I get it. You know, I'm frail and human as well. But I've been discouraged by people. I've been discouraged by the church. I've been discouraged because I've seen people of like what I thought were the strongest faith people that I've ever seen on the planet. And then they're some of the ones that I don't ever see anymore. And I'm like, I don't mean to sound judgmental, and I don't mean anybody watching. My wife is actually watching online today. I don't mean that to be a slight to anybody that's watching. I'm just being honest. These are just emotions. It doesn't mean they're real. They feel real. But I've been disappointed in the church. I've been disappointed in black people and white people and Hispanic people. I've been disappointed in the president, and I've been disappointed in local government. I've been disappointed in a lot of places, and it just brings me this overwhelming sense of discouragement. I've found myself at times waking up from my night's sleep and going, oh, I have to face the day. Has anybody felt that during this season? Like, that's not healthy to go, I just want to go back to sleep because I don't want to face what's out there today. I've just been discouraged. I've been so discouraged in so many different ways. I've been discouraged by my family. I've been discouraged by, you know, you name it. I've been discouraged when I look on Facebook and I see people and their mess that they've got going on Facebook. And I'm sure some of them look at mine and they are discouraged by me and my mess on Facebook. I try not to get too crazy into any conspiracy theories and try not to get too crazy into, you know, the left or the right. But there are times where we have to say something. My daughter, actually, she asked me recently, she said, you know, she said, I want to understand, Dad, why you have posted a couple of things on Facebook, because I didn't put any feelings out there on them. I just shared them. And I maybe should have said that, hey, I am totally behind this right here. But I didn't do that. And she said, I just want to understand, Dad, where you're coming from. Are you for this? Not for it? What are you saying here? And we had a little bit of a conversation about it. And she said, I've just noticed in your Facebook that, you know, you haven't been as uplifting in some of your Facebook stuff. And she's like, I just feel like that's a place. And we got into this conversation. She said, I feel like that's a place where, you know, if we're going to influence, and again, I have a little bit of a disagreement there with her, because personally, I don't feel like Facebook is our platform to influence the world. I mean, it may be, And I'm not saying that you can and you can't do that. I believe you can. But when you look at it in its essence, in its true form, it's really a reflection of your private thoughts that you want to share with a group of friends, 1,000 friends, you know. And so I look at that and I said, you know, these things that I'm posting, they're not overtly political. I know some people would disagree with that. They're not overtly political, but they are matters in the political arena. Sex trafficking and, you know, racism and things like this. These are things that we should not be silent on. And I'm discouraged because there are some people in the church today that they want us to be quiet about everything. That, friend, is the way the world got in the mess that it's in. We now murder, you know, and I'm trying to be encryptic because of little ones, but we have so much of that going on in our society. Why? Because we do not stand up about it. I've literally thought, like, what happens if what is happening in Portland and Seattle and, you know, over in that part of the country, what happens if they were to start that in Daphne? Now, listen to me. Again, can you follow me for the age brackets that are in here? I'm trying to be encryptic. What happens if that were to happen at Daphne City Hall? Like, I've said to a couple of my friends, they don't need to bring that mess here. What happens if that were to happen? Like, that's happening right now in other places in the country because good people are doing nothing. And I'm just like, okay, I don't think I'm okay with that happening in my community. And I think I would have to I don't know what arms looks like. Take up arms. I don't have a gun. You know, arms for me might be a baseball bat or a pitchfork or something. I don't know. But I'm just not okay with things that are going on in our nation. And we sit back and we're not doing anything about it. Can I just share with you a couple of things? As we look at this, I want you to look at what discourage means. Discourage. To discourage someone causes someone to lose confidence or enthusiasm. To discourage means that it prevents or seeks to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties. Persuades someone against an action. I want you to think about this. Listen, hear me. Discouragement has an assignment. Discouragement has an assignment. Discouragement can lead to disillusionment, which can lead to defeat. Stay with me. Discouragement can lead to disillusionment, which can lead to defeat. Disillusionment in that it's out of control. Does anybody feel like the world is out of control? Now, I'm not saying the world is out of control. Do you feel in your soul an emotion? Can I tell you, the world is not out of control. God is still on the throne. God is still at work. There are still good people doing good works. There are still people being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But discouragement causes us to become disillusioned because we are feeding on things that will feed fear. Now, one of the things that I posted recently was all these doctors that are talking about hydroxychloroquine, and, you know, Facebook and all these places are taking them down. But they put out another video, and it was like an hour and 20-minute press conference. And I mean, these are not weird people. These are educated people. They're doctors. They have practices. They're intellectuals. And one of the things that I noticed in this video that they were doing is that they talked a lot about fear. Like, these are professionals, and they're talking about the fear that has been put out in our society. They're talking about the fear that has engulfed us. Has anybody felt that? I have felt that. There are actually certain people that I just don't even want to be around because they are walking in fear in everything that they do. Can I tell you that there are pastors that are operating their churches in fear? There are pastors, and listen, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people that disagree with me. There's going to be a ton of my friends that are probably saying, dude, you shouldn't be saying that stuff. But listen, there are pastors that are saying that we are not going to have a congregational gathering until the end of the year. So they're not having church August, September, October, November, or December until January 2021. They're not having services again. My question is, and then what? What then? Because they're already saying that the vaccine that will come out won't be, you know, it's not really going to be a one-fix stop shop. You know, it's not going to make this thing go away. Listen, can I tell you that the virus that's going around, we are going to have to learn to live with that. I don't mean to sound defeatist. What I'm trying to say is we're going to have to learn to live with that in the power of healing, like we live with influenza, like we live with the flu every year, like we live with every other thing. I'm standing before you here today to tell you that I've had the virus. I've already recovered from the virus. There are others that you're going to get the virus. The virus for me was like a summer cold. Somebody else in my family had it about 2 months ago, I think. And for them, it was like one of the worst cases of flu that they've ever had. It's going to affect people differently. But listen, you are going to survive. That Psalm 91, I've got it plastered on my front door. You know, somehow that booger bug got me somewhere. But here I am standing before you today. Listen, we are going to have to live with this. And I hope you understand what I'm saying with that. I don't mean that we have to accept sickness, but there is sickness in the world. Just like Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. You're going to have sickness in the world. You're going to have sickness in the world until Jesus returns. And we're going to have to look sickness in the face. We're going to have to look cancer in the face. We're going to have to look these things in the face. We're going to have to declare Psalm 91 and all of the other scriptures. And we will not bow to that. We just won't bow to that. Listen, we're going to have to learn. I don't know what it fully looks like, but we're going to have to learn to do community together. In light of this, I personally believe that this virus, obviously it's real, but I believe that the enemy is using this to discourage the church, to discourage the nation, to discourage the globe. I believe that there is something sinister behind this. I say that and people look at me like I've got a third head and a fifth eye. I get it. I get it. You know, this whole thing, I'm telling you what, this whole thing has really exposed a lot of people's depths of spirituality. It really, truly has. They believe in the science that's out there, but the science, you know, is like totally selective. It's like, you know, listen, take it seriously, and then you take it seriously, but not that seriously. Listen to these doctors, but not those doctors. You know, respect black people, but not that black doctor. You know what I'm saying? It's all subjective. And we've got to, as a church, we've got to be thinking straight and rationally. Discouragement, it can lead to disillusionment. If we're not careful, disillusionment will lead to our defeat, because this is what discouragement does. Discouragement gets our attention off of our provider, off of our purpose, and on to the problems of the world. What will happen is we are looking, right? This is where I'm discouraged a bit. I see that the church at large, they are looking at this thing, and I get it, we use wisdom. I get it, I use a mask when I go out in public into certain stores and places. I get that. I'm not anti-mask. I'm not all these different things. What I'm trying to say is we are looking at this thing, and we are letting the enemy take our attention off of our God, our protector, off of our purpose, because we're still on assignment. We're not quarantined somewhere. We still are on assignment. God still got a plan for us. It's a plan to prosper us, give us hope and a future. But I'm telling you what, discouragement has taken that away from us and focused on this problem. And I don't feel very hopeful. I don't feel like the plan is working in my favor. I don't feel like it's to prosper me, to give me hope and a future. But that doesn't mean it's not true. So what do I do in those instances? I take that high thought that has exalted itself against what the word, Jeremiah 29:11, says to me. And I says, you have to come under this. You have to subject yourself to the word. This is what I'm always going to go back to. This is my true north. This is the rock, the standing place, the foundation that we are going to need to stand on. Listen. Discouragement has an assignment. That assignment is to make you and I feel hopeless, defeated. But can I tell you, defeat has already been defeated. Because Jesus said that I've overcome the world already. In this world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have struggles and trials and all these different things. But take cheer. Take good heart. Be joyful. Light. His burden is light because he's overcome the world. I want you to look at what courage is. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. It means that we look and we go, you know what? I know this is going to offend somebody, but it needs to be said. Now, you don't have to take on the anointing to be a jerk for Jesus. And the church is really... They're flowing in that anointing right now, and I'm being facetious. But we don't have to be jerks, but there are times that some things need to be said. And I've said things right here from this pulpit that have caused people to leave our church. But listen, for me, I'm going to preach the truth, whether it fills a room or clears a room. I'm going to preach the truth, and if people want to come because I'm preaching the truth, amen. But if they want to leave and go somewhere else where they can be, their fancies can be tickled and all of that, listen, you go on somewhere else and do that. But in this place, we have to preach the truth. I have lost friends. I have lost church family members. I've lost family members to the stands that I've taken based upon the word. But Jesus, in his own words, said, listen, unless you hate your mom and dad, you're not worthy to follow me. He didn't truly, he was being hyperbolic. He didn't truly mean you have to hate your family. What he was saying is, look, if you're not going to be able to let go of them and that relationship takes precedence over this one, you're not worthy to follow me. You're going to have to give it completely up. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens someone. You're going to have times in your life where it's like, ugh, I don't know if I should say this, or ugh, I don't know that I can make this stand, or ugh, I don't know that I can let people know where I am. I had somebody recently, you might be watching today, but I had someone recently, they sent me something personally. And it was a personal message, and they're like, I don't want to put this on my Facebook. And I'm like, well, that's your Facebook. I didn't say this. This is in my thoughts. I'm like, that's your Facebook. That's your platform. You should be able to say what you want to. But what discouragement seeks to do is shame you and silence you, discourage you from speaking the truth, discourage you from thinking that there's any hope. And it silences the voice of the church. It silences the voice of the righteous, and we cease to be salty. We cease to be light anymore. Courage also strengthens us in the face of pain or grief. Courage is strength in the face of pain. Right now, we're going through some pain in our nation. Right now, we are going through some grief in our nation. Right now, we are going through some pain and grief in the church world. But courage is what causes us to stand up in spite of that. I want you to look at what courage does. Courage is born out of a community of encouragers. Drink it in for a second, okay? Courage is born out of a community of encouragers. So do you see why I'm telling you guys, this is not wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. What is happening in the nation right now, what is happening around the globe right now is not something that lacks sinister motives. If courage is born out of a community of encouragers, what do you think isolation does? What do you think quarantine does? Like, when did we ever quarantine healthy people? You quarantine sick people. The sick people, the few, not the masses, the few stay away. Not the healthy people. But the church has bought into this idea. Isolation births depression. Isolation births fear. Isolation births oppression. Isolation births mental instability. Isolation births suicide. Like right now, the mental health industry is off the charts, if you know anybody that is a professional counselor. Right now, the rates are off the charts. Right now, do you know why? And again, I'm having to be cryptic because of all the little ones that are here. But do you know, like right now, we have one of the greatest pandemics that are happening that is not a disease, but it's an injustice. And do you know that the isolation is what precipitated that to the forefront? And we are now facing this, and it's like, oh, wow. So I don't know if God used this for a greater good to expose this other heinous thing that's going on around the globe. But now the church, we have to stand up, and we have to say something about that. We have to take action, and we have to do something with that. Say this with me on the screen. Courage is born out of a community of encouragers. A community of encouragers. I want you, let me go back to this real quick. I want to read Joshua chapter 1. 11 verses. Now, before we get here, I want you to understand that in the book right before this, Numbers chapter 13, you'll find that Moses has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They are now getting ready to go into the promised land. As they get ready to go into the promised land, Moses, he sends 12 spies into the region. They go into the region for 40 days. They scope out the region. They find that it's truly exactly as the Lord told them that it was going to be. They also find some big old boys in the land. They're sons of Anak. They're the giants of the region. And they come back and they are bringing their report to Moses. And you know how the story goes. There are 10 of them that have a negative report. But Joshua and Caleb, they're the two that say, man, it's exactly how the Lord God told us. And we can go into this place, we can take the land, we can do all these things. But there were 10 of them, Numbers chapter 13, if you want to go read it. There were 10 of the spies that said, we're not going to be able to do this now. Those boys are way too big. We actually look like grasshoppers in their sight. And yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. And yes, we can do, you know, we would benefit. But it's not going to be possible. And then the scripture in Numbers chapter 13 and following begins to say, not only now were they giving their account, but now they started telling lies. The scripture says that now they begin to tell lies and spread lies within the community so that they would be able to get people to join them in their descent, so to speak. So you know how the story goes. Moses, he gives in to the people. He doesn't lead them into the promised land. So for the next 40 years, they wander around in the wilderness, literally just a short distance from their promised land. But for 40 years, they did this. Now, I was whining just a few minutes ago about the 3 years, you know, that I've been enduring some things. I can't imagine 40 years. And so in Joshua chapter 1 is where we're fixing to pick this up, and Moses had died, all right? Now get your Bible, get your pens ready, your highlighters or something, because there's going to be some places in here that you're going to need to highlight some stuff and then come back and ask yourself, God, give me some revelation on this, all right? So verse 1, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. I want to stop right there for just a second. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. Moses was a great guy. He was the only person that scripture talks about. He was the one that knew the Lord face to face. They'd had face to face communion is what the scripture said. But Moses had to die. His time had to come because Moses, as great of a leader as Moses was, Moses had some flaws. And Moses' leadership actually hurt them from going into the promised land. Now the Lord loved Moses. Moses did a great job, but he failed in some aspects. And going into the promised land was now going to be turned over to somebody else. Listen, I know that I as a leader have not gotten everything right as a leader, but I truly don't want to be the kind of leader that messes up in a way that says, Rife, it was you, but because you did this or because you did that, it's no longer you. It's fixing to be Quentin. Quentin, I love you. I want to go in with you. I mean, you can even take the lead, but I at least want to come with you. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, at least not living. They carried him in dead, but I don't want you carrying me in. Quentin, I'll ride on your back. You can push me in my walker or wheelchair, you know, at 80 or something. But I want to be going in on the Lord's assignment for me. You understand? God's assignment to Moses was to take them into that promised land. But something that Moses did, you all know the story, he violated it and God reneged on the offer. He didn't really renege on it. That's a bad connotation for it, because it's not like God didn't fulfill his end of the bargain. God rescinded the assignment and reassigned it to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. The Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. Listen to me. God is looking for somebody who will lead the people during this time. God is looking for people. It's not just one leader. He's looking for people. He's looking for leaders who will lead during this time. I'm asking you here today, and whether you're watching online, are you leading? Are you a leader? Are you a voice of encouragement? Or are you a voice of discouragement? He's looking for people who will be salt and light and who will actually do something. And he says, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. Listen to this, verse 3. He says, I promise to you what I promised Moses. So the same thing that God's been saying, God is still going to deliver, but he's just going to deliver it through a different people. I'm telling you what, God, there may have been some assignments that have been assigned that people have abdicated. They're like, you know, not during this season, Lord, but I am not going to be one of those people. I know that the promises that God has said prophetically, and listen, I keep a box on my desk at home of prophetic words that people have given me, that the Lord has spoken to me over the years, and every prophetic word in that box, I keep that because it's a treasure trove for me. It's a book of memorials, a box of memorials for me, and I'm looking to that. It's a box of promises, and I'm like, God, every promise that you have in this that lines up with this, I'm going to hold you to it, God. And God's saying that every promise that I gave to Moses, I give to you. He says, wherever your foot, you set your foot, will be the land I've given you. From the Negev to the wilderness in the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, to the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Listen, God is speaking to us today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said, I will make you a great nation through Abraham, he says all of the promises of Moses, I'm passing on to you, Joshua, and then down to you and I. The scripture says in the New Testament that you and I are entitled to the same blessing. Pastor Greg read it to you just a couple of weeks ago. We are entitled to the same blessing that Abraham, our father, had. It's still in operation today. And you're not going to tell me that some mealy-mouthed virus is going to come on the scene in 2020 and is going to invalidate the promises of God. Somehow God is going to work through a plague. Somehow God is going to work through a pandemic. Somehow God is going to work through online ministry. Somehow God is going to work through 35% full sanctuaries across the nation. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know what it's going to fully look like. It's probably not going to be to my liking initially because I'm used to doing ministry another way. But I tell you what, if we have to go from a full band to two guys who love Jesus and pour their heart out, then that's what it's going to look like on a Sunday. If it looks like, you know, somebody from the congregation giving a word or different people getting up and praying, that's exactly what it looked like in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Whatever it looks like, we are still going to operate under the promises of God. He says, no one will be able to stand against you. That still means no one will be able to stand against you. I don't care what kind of evil is going on in the government. I don't care what kind of evil is going on in the seven different sectors of society. There is still a God that says he's with us, he will not forsake us, and that he is going to bring the promises of God to us. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Underline it. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors. He says again in verse 7, be strong and courageous. Now listen to me, that's twice he said it. Be strong and courageous. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. First time he says, be strong and courageous, but second time he amps it up a little bit. Be strong and very courageous. Anytime you start seeing things repeat over and over in Scripture, you have to go, hang on, there's something important here. So he said it twice. He says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Oh my God, right there, guys. He says, obey everything in the book of instruction, their scripture at the time. He says, only then, when you obey what is in this, will you have true success. May make you want to think, like, am I not having success? Am I in alignment with this book? It doesn't mean that if you're not having success, by the way, that you're not in alignment with the book. It may just be that your season hasn't come. It may just be that we're still waiting on the increase. It may be that, you know, you're on year 3 of year 40. God, I hope not. You just have to be patient and wait on the Lord. Remember, I started this message out by saying the Lord said, tell them to hold on. It's about to get good. Don't give up too early. Don't throw the towel in too early. He says, verse 9, he says, now this is my command, be strong and courageous. Hang on just a second, let's go back. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And now this thing's done developed into a command. Like, a command is non-negotiable. A command, it's now become a command. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He says, be strong, be courageous. This is my command to you. Don't be afraid. Fear right now is rampant in our land. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of this virus. Do not be afraid of what's going on in our land. Do not be afraid of the economy. Don't be afraid of, you know, the whatever trillion dollars that somebody's going to have to pay back somewhere. Don't be afraid of any of that, because God, his hand is going to be on the church. I'm telling you what, if for nothing, no other reason than insurance. I know it's a terrible way to say it, but if for no other reason than insurance, people ought to be a part of the church. Are you following me? If for no other reason, now that's a terrible reason, but if for no other reason, like if you can't find the good reason that Jesus Christ loved us while we were still yet sinners and gave himself as a sacrifice for us, if you can't grab on hold of that one, just grab a hold of, at least I know he is not going to forsake us. He is not going to see the righteous forsaken nor begging for bread. Amen. Stephen, if you want to come on, I want to leave you with this. Verse 10 and 11, he says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel to go throughout the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. And in just 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land that your God is giving you. Guys, this is one of those statements that's going to clear the room or fill the room. All right. When I read that, Joshua then commanded. Now, okay, be strong and courageous. He's inspiring us to be courageous. He's inspiring us to not give in to fear. He's inspiring us to not allow ourselves to become discouraged. And then this is what he says. He says, he commanded all the officers of Israel to go throughout the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you'll cross the Jordan River and take possession. In 3 days, as I'm reading this, again, y'all stick with me, because it's either going to clear the room or fill the room. I felt the Lord say in my spirit, you need to tell the people to get ready to take action. I don't know what the actions are completely yet, but I do know some of them. One is fast and pray. And I put those together because fasting and prayer always go together. But he says, I want you to get your provisions ready. I want you to get ready. There's a work to do. And in 3 days, you're going to march in and you're going to take possession of what I've given you. I promise you. I believe with all my heart that I was laying before the Lord. The Lord said in 3 days. Now we know in the scripture, a day is a year, a year is a day. You know, like those don't necessarily all mean literal terms. And so I started looking at this. Like I was supposed to preach this message to you last week. And I started looking and I'm like, oh, wow. So 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. 3 years, months, weeks. From last Sunday, 3 months out, is the election for the President of the United States and other officials. Now, this is where I say it's fixing to get really interesting because it's going to clear the room or fill the room. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I'm not here to tell, but I am here to tell you to vote. Like, you need to vote. If you don't vote, I promise you, to me, that's almost a sin in our country. Like, for us to have that as part of our civics and for people to not vote, that's almost sin to me. That, you know, that's not scripture. That's Rife's stuff. And it does not matter if President Trump is reelected or if we have another president, whomever that may be. I believe in 3 months, we are going to cross a threshold. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are on the Trump bandwagon, and they're like, yes, bless God, President Trump's going to get it, and we're going to get this country together. And I'm like, listen, if he wins the election, it's going to be all-out war. It is going to be hell unleashed. That's just a fact. If he doesn't, I don't know what that looks like either. That's not the point I'm trying to make to you. Are you listening to me? That's not the point I'm trying to make to you. I believe, I mean, 3 months from last Sunday to November, whatever the 3rd or whatever it is, 3 months exactly, I believe the Lord speaking to me in this, saying that 3 months, man, we're going to pass into a time where there's going to be something that breaks in the natural and the supernatural. And I'm also standing before you going, I don't even basically know what I'm saying. So why am I saying it? I just want you to be praying into it and preparing. I want you to be praying and fasting into this. Because I'm telling you what, regardless of what that looks like, God is on the throne. Jesus has already overcome. And what we need to be doing is we need to not be allowing discouragement to flood in and distract us. This is a couple of things that I want to share with you. All right, so how do we deal with discouragement? How do we deal with that? Number one, stay close to the Father. Why? Because courage comes from a community of encouragers. He's the chief encourager. When I started looking at this, I'm like, this is how I am for my life. When I start feeling a certain way, I look at it and I go, did Jesus feel this way? Because if he felt this way, it makes me feel a little better about myself, you know. Did Jesus ever get discouraged? Did Jesus ever get frustrated? Did Jesus ever get disappointed? And can I tell you that he did? He got frustrated with the disciples. He got frustrated when they couldn't heal, and he had already spent 3 years of his better of his life trying to teach them how to do this. He got frustrated when he would go about and do miracles, and the very people from his own hometown didn't respect him as a prophet. And the scripture says that he was amazed. In other words, hugely disappointed. That he was amazed at their unbelief. He was frustrated with the religious people because they're going, give us a sign. How do we know that you are? You know, give us a sign. Well, aren't people's eyes being opened? Aren't people being fed? Aren't those enough of a sign? But no, they wanted a bigger sign, because that's what he says. A perverse and adulterous generation always wants a bigger sign. Somebody's leg grew out. Well, God, can you please make somebody's ear grow out too? Both of them while you're at it. It's always never enough to be satisfied. And so Jesus, he was disappointed in so many different times. But how do we deal with discouragement? We stay close to the Father. We stay close in community. Jesus, even though he was frustrated at times, he was those guys' biggest encouragers. Jesus, we couldn't heal him. Bring him to me. I'll heal him. Now you guys, y'all saw what I did here. You saw your faith can move mountains. Now, get this. Come on, let me go out. Y'all aren't good enough. I'm going to do it all. No, he said, now go back out and try it again. Why? Because he was an encourager. Filter what you feed on. Some people say it like this. Gaze at God, glance at the world. Gaze at God, glance at Facebook. Gaze at God, glance at current events. Gaze at God, but glance at the news. So many people have it other way around. They can tell you more what Glenn Beck and, you know, Tucker Carlson and, you know, CNN and some of these Don Lemon people, they can tell you more about what they're saying in the world today than what the Word says. Filter what you feed on. I'm so proud of my wife, because I saw her getting so discouraged, and I said, babe, could you just not do Facebook? Because see, I my skin's tougher than hers, I guess. I see some stuff and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't disappoint me. I've seen worse than that. She's tender when it comes to that stuff. And I said, can you just please get off of Facebook? She began to filter that out of her life, and I promise you, it changed the quality of her life. It increased her joy. Take communion. Remember God's faithfulness. Like, take communion. Physically take communion. When you take communion, God, we remember your great sacrifice. God, we remember your provision. God, I remember the time you healed my dad. God, I remember the time you helped us to pay off this. God, I remember the time that you healed X, Y, or Z. What you're doing is you're in communion with the Father. And how do you deal with discouragement? In communion, you keep reminding yourself of the times that God came through for you and he didn't leave you hanging. You do this, you surround yourself with encouraging people. There are so many scriptures throughout the Bible that talks about encouraging one another. Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 8 says that if your gift is encouragement, then encourage one another. There are truly some people that I know when they call me and I get a phone call from them, I'm taking that phone call. Why? Because they are an encouragement to me. And when I get off, I know that this is not going to be a phone call that I'm going to get off feeling worse than I did before I got on it. There are some other people that call me, and they're some of them's family members, some of them's church folks, and some of them's pastor friends of mine. And I'll look at that and go, I can't handle that one today. I'm not strong enough, because I know that's just going to be a discouragement, because they operate in discouragement. But man, when those people that have the gift of encouragement, they call you and they leave you feeling better, they leave you feeling better. Built up, because that's what a community does. It encourages us to be better. Surround yourself with people who are encouragers. On Tuesday night, we have a group of men that meet here. And our sole purpose is to pray for our spiritual leaders and pray for the direction of Destiny Church. And I promise you, when I leave that meeting on Tuesday nights, I constantly leave that place encouraged. I'll walk into it heavy, like I did at the beginning of this message when I was talking to you about my discouragement. And when I leave, I feel like everything is right in the world. I feel like I'm the best leader. I feel like I could conquer the world just by myself. Why? Because those people are the encouragers in my life. And not all of them, but those are the encouragers in my life. And they are the people who spur me on to courage. Speak positively. Life and death is in our tongue. Life and death is in our tongue. How we speak matters. The scripture says, let no unwholesome talk come out of her mouth, only that is good for encouragement. Man, I don't know how much any of us really live that one, but I'm telling you what, the way you talk around your kids, your wife, your children, it's important. And then lastly, it's this one. Pray in the Spirit. I think there's one more. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. There are times, guys, where I just have to literally get away and I have to go pray in the Spirit. The scripture says pray in the Spirit in all times, in all situations. There's sing in the Spirit. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there's times where I'm telling you, you got to put, y'all going to tell that I don't know secular singers, a lot of them. But there are going to be times that y'all going to have to put away Mariah Carey and Beyonce and Travis Tritt and, you know, I don't know who else. I told y'all I don't know secular singers. Y'all going to have to put some of that stuff away. And you're going to have to go in and put you in some Jesus culture. Or whoever if you like the oldies, what's the? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Bill Gaither, put in the Gaither vocal band. You know, but get somewhere where you can allow the Spirit of God to begin to flood you, and you begin to just sing in the Spirit, and then pray in the Spirit. Can I tell you, guys, we've lost the art of praying in tongues. The church has lost the gift of praying in tongues. And we are losing so much dunamis power because we aren't allowing ourselves to be baptized constantly in the Holy Spirit. And there are times where I will just begin to pray in the Spirit. And this is something that you got to long for, yearn for, and want it to be a part of your life. And when you have that desire and it basically overcomes you in your desires, I promise you, you'll be in a situation. And I don't really get embarrassed. If you want to know the truth, ask my wife at the birth of our son. I'm in the delivery room, and it don't look like it's going good to me. And before I knew it, I'm busted out. I'm praying in tongues in the labor room. And afterwards, the OBGYN doctor, whatever, said, I thought I was going to have to ask your husband to leave there for a minute because he was getting a little weird. I didn't realize. I'm like praying in tongues. Come out in Jesus' name, you know. But when you get to this place, and I promise you, you'll be in Walmart, you'll be at the gas station, you'll be any place, and before you know it, you are praying in tongues, and you don't even know that you're praying out loud in tongues until people start looking at you. But I'm telling you what, it is a gift of encouragement. What'll happen is Holy Spirit, he'll flood in. And he'll begin to flow through you, and he's praying perfectly through you. And what he's basically doing is he's encouraging you. He's building you up. And this is the last thing. Activate your courage by doing something positive. Normally, I save this last slide on all of my message to be like, Pastor, how can I put into action your message? There's 7 things you can do right there. Get close to God. Stay close to God. Filter what you feed on. You could remove the Facebook app from your phone today. You can live without that, I promise you. Take communion with your family on a regular basis. And when you take communion, don't take it in a religious context like, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for the blood. That's great. That's the basis of it. But go beyond that and say, Lord, not only do I thank you for what you did on the cross, I thank you for what you did for us last week. God, thank you that our car slid off the interstate and we didn't hit a single tree and everybody's fine. And we're, you know, thank you, God, that, you know, my grandpa came out of that surgery with flying colors and they said that he only had, you know, whatever, whatever. Thank him in communion. Surround yourself by encouragers. And if there's anybody in your life that's a discourager, yank a knot in them. I'm serious. Sometimes you just have to do that and you have to say, listen, I love you, but we're gonna have to work on that. Because I feel real bad every time you start coming around. We're going to have to work on that because I love you too much to let you stay there. Surround yourself with encouraging people. Speak positively. Pray in the Spirit and activate your courage by doing something positive. Do something that matters. Do something. I don't know what to do. Just do something because he's called us to be doers of the word. And not just hearers. I'm going to let you go. Would you stand with me? I want you to understand that discouragement has an assignment. But Jesus has already defeated it. That assignment is canceled on your life. I don't know if you came into the place feeling discouraged or overwhelmed. I hope, at least that was my goal, that by the time we got to the end of this, that you felt like God is spurring me back to a place of hope and courage. Listen. He is in control. I don't care what you read on the news. I typically do 2 things when I get up in the morning. This is terrible, I'm telling on myself. I do 2 things. I mean, first thing out of bed, I flip over and I look at the news headlines. That's a bad thing to do. I did not do that today because I didn't do that today, and the reason that I didn't do that is because I told you coming in here that I was preaching to myself. I was preaching to myself. I'm like, Rife, you got to start filtering. That is not the first thing. Like, you know, well, I don't have my Bible right there with me. My eyes ain't even focused. They're focused enough to read the headlines. So I'm filtering. I'm practicing this stuff. Do something that'll change where you are and increase your courage.